This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Chief Chrisman is caught in traffic. We do still have problems like that. His twin is with us today, Roy Fields.
Hey,
Roy.
He's walking in. We didn't want him to break any speed limits or anything. And even the police chief is not immune from getting stuck in traffic.
Glenn, how are you today?
Good morning, Bart. How are you?
Good
to be here with you.
Now, your twin's not going to leave, is he?
Oh, yes.
Well, he's welcome to stay, but he's probably got things to do. But, Roy, again, welcome to stay, always.
Roy, good to see you. It was a brief passing in the streets. Glenn, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, Bart. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine.
Beautiful day out there today.
Oh, it is gorgeous. And 33 degrees now, moving on up.
Does it get into the 60s today? 62,
I think so.
3,
like
somewhere
that.
There?
Spring is, well, just like the groundhog said, anytime.
Well, it could be. You know, we'll see. I kind of watch that every year to see what Punxsutawney Phil's reliability rating is. But if you are, as I heard somebody say the other day, if you're from those northern states where they're digging out from a harsh winter every year, you're glad to see that forecast.
They're ready.
So that there's warmer weather and less precipitation coming, hopefully.
Well, a lot of things happening with the Murfreesboro Police Department. The community continues to see positive growth. All of that continues. What are some of the things that are on your agenda right now that most excite you?
Well, I think we have come off of a year. I know since we've been here, we've had the annual crime statistics released, and we saw an 8% decrease in reports of what we call Part 1 crimes. That's the major crimes: homicide, rape, robbery, assault, larceny, burglary, motor vehicle theft, and arson. And as we said, we did see increases in four of those categories, but we saw some significant decreases in the property crimes, particularly burglary. And at the end of the day, when we look at the total of all of those, there was about 8% less of those crimes reported than there was the year before. That's a wonderful thing. Anytime you see decreases in reports of crime, that's good. Certainly, we don't want to see them increase ever. What we had experienced in recent years as our population continued to grow at a pretty rapid pace, if you have more people that are moving into your city, then you have more people contacting the police to report things, and we'd seen some modest increases in years prior, so that decrease is certainly something that we're very proud of, and proud of our citizens for being such good partners in our efforts to reduce crime, report criminal activity, interact with their police so that we can do the best job we can of providing law enforcement services.
I guess that's really what it's all about, people working together, the citizens working with the officers.
It is, and whether it's in one of the interchanges after the initial release of information, there was a story in a local newspaper where they had taken some commentary from one of the sociology professors at MTSU. And one of the things that was mentioned in that story was, even though you see an increase in reports of crime, that's not always necessarily a bad thing if those are modest increases. Because one of the things that it indicates is people are reporting. That means that they're engaged and involved. They know that for us to do the best job that we can do, we have to be knowledgeable and mindful of what's happening in neighborhoods. And if we don't have reports from our citizens, we don't know that oftentimes. And obviously the other thing that does is it gives us an opportunity to investigate those crimes where there's evidence that would lead to a successful prosecution. And do our best to identify the people responsible and hold them accountable. So we're excited about those. I'm so excited about the work of our staff. They come in here every day, and they go out there and they work really, really hard for our citizens. And that may be as simple as helping somebody that's got a motor vehicle that's broken down and needs some assistance one way or another. It could be as complex as a domestic violence confrontation where there's literally violence involved. It could involve, crimes involving children. Certainly since December, we have been focused on and spending lots and lots of hours working with city schools, reviewing, revisiting, revamping, rolling out some enhanced training on school safety for all of our Murfreesboro City schools. We just have a great staff of people. They love their work. They love this city. They're dedicated to serving our citizens, and they make me proud of them every single day.
Well, it makes all of us proud to be here in the community. Even when you're stopped for a traffic stop, the officers are so courteous. We continue to hear phone calls, emails, letters here at the radio station telling us about how courteous the police officers are.
Well, that's what we shoot for. You know, we're humans. We make mistakes. We have bad days. And sometimes either one of those stops get off on the wrong foot or, you know, we have a tendency, human beings do, to push each other's buttons every now and then. And sometimes those don't go exactly like we would hope they would. But as we say, hopefully those are learning experience, teachable moments, things that... that we can get better from. We tell our police officers, in fact, all of our employees when they come to work for us, we have a pretty simple operational philosophy at the police department. We say, we expect for you to work hard. I remember hearing James Walker at MTSU say one time that his daddy said he could do anything he wanted to do and be anything he wanted to be if he'd work a half a day every day. It didn't matter if it was the first 12 hours or the last 12 hours. So we tell them to work hard, do your best. Do the very best you know how to do, and then at the end of the day, when you look in that mirror, you'll feel good about what you've done that day to provide service for our citizens. Third thing is follow the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And lastly is be accountable for your actions. Nothing wrong with making mistakes. And now if we're the polished professional that Bart Walker is, we might not make very many mistakes, but I guarantee you if you follow me around every day, you'll see me make quite a few. Yeah, but
it's the opposite of that.
But when we make mistakes, we have to own them. And that means you say,
"That's true.
I did it. I'm sorry. I'll learn from it. I'll be better next time. I'll be stronger because of this." And so work hard, do your best, treat people how you want to be treated, and be accountable for your actions. And when those officers are on those traffic stops and they don't go well, hopefully they learn from them and we learn from them and we're better the next time.
I know one of the things that you have really focused on over the years, way back before you were the chief of police, you were on the radio talking about your concern for T-bone accidents, and that has been a concern of yours over the years. Did the new reports show another decrease in serious T-bone accidents?
They showed decrease in two categories and a slight increase in one of the other ones, and we're continuing to add to that data for 2012. I think when at the end of the day, when we look at the T-bone accidents, they'll either be about even or maybe a slight decrease, and there's some reasons for that. One of the reasons is we've added more intersections since the last time that we did a report, or since the time we started the program. And then there have been some changes in the way that the state of Tennessee is handling motor vehicle crashes. They've all gone to an electronic format, and so we've had to do a little bit more diligent research to go back and make sure that we've got all those numbers correct. But I think the thing that there is no doubt about is that if you look at crashes at intersections in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we've said this many times, not only those six intersections where the cameras are, but you see reductions in crashes at all signalized intersections, and there's well over, I think there's 130 signalized intersections in the city of Murfreesboro. So if you're seeing less crashes at intersections that don't even have cameras, then to me that says people are paying more attention to those red lights. So we're still looking at that. I anticipate us getting a report to the council on that probably sometime in the month of February. We were shooting for January, but just haven't made that deadline yet. And then one of the things that we may want to suggest to the council is looking at adding some intersections. As I say, we've got 130 or so. We've got them at six. There are some other intersections probably that would benefit from those. And one of the things that was also in our press release, and this is something that's of great concern to us, all across the United States of America in 2012, I won't say that every state, but virtually every state, the national numbers and our local numbers all had increases in traffic fatalities. This was despite the fact that in Murfreesboro last year, our police officers wrote 17,000 plus moving violation citations. They wrote more than that in warning citations, about 24,000 warning citations. And somebody, let me stop right there and say, well, why would they do that? Well, just because they stop you and your taillight's out, your tag may be expired, you may not have your seatbelt on, and you know, there may be four or five violations, that doesn't mean that they're going to write you a ticket for every single one of those. They can, but most of our officers have pretty benevolent hearts. They know times are hard, money's hard. They want people to address and correct those things without necessarily throwing the book at them. So they may write them one real ticket and three warnings. So last year they wrote 17,000 plus moving violations. They wrote 24,000 warning citations. They arrested 858 people for driving under the influence. And our red light camera system wrote 24,111 red light tickets. But we still had nine people killed in traffic crashes here. Two of those involved alcohol. Four of those involved situations where people ran off the road and hit something and tragically died. And we had a couple that involved lane violations and some other things. So in about the last quarter of the year, what we started saying to our police officers was, you got to get out there, you got to be more vigilant, you got to be more visible, you got to make more traffic stops, you got to do something to try to slow folks down, to try and lower that number. If you were on the interstate any around the holidays and you saw those message boards, they would say, we had 932 fatalities in Tennessee in 2011. We're at 920 now. Please don't be the next one. Well, I think that Tennessee number at the end of the year was well over 1,000. And some of the research that we saw, or some of the commentary that we saw, suggested that the economy had improved last year some nationwide. Gas prices had moderated some. There was more money in the economy, so people were traveling more. They were putting in more hours on the road, more miles on the road, and they think that that might have attributed to that increase in fatalities, just simply because we had more drivers and they were traveling more. In any case, one is too many. So as we go into 2013, certainly, I mentioned a roll call yesterday that we need to be focused on that and trying to do everything we can to keep our roads safe and slow folks down.
We had a fatality last night, too. Around 8:22 last night, a person with a bicycle, and I think they were pushing the bicycle, they were hit by a vehicle at 1307 North Rutherford Boulevard. Now, I don't know exactly that location. I don't know if there was a sidewalk in that area or not, because part of Rutherford Boulevard has sidewalks, part don't. But nevertheless, I'm guessing the person may have been in the street. I'm not sure.
Yeah, could have been. 1307, I want to think, is right along in there where Bel Air Baptist Church is. So that
probably does not have a sidewalk. It picks up after that.
Yeah, it may. I have to look at that.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Tragic. But
again, it was dark.
Yeah, it is.
Total dark out there.
And I think, you know, when we have those tragic situations happen, one of the things that we always do, we say, well, gosh, that's terrible. What could we have done to have prevented that? And some of them really almost defy a good preventive strategy for the police, other than visibility, active enforcement, stopping people that you see that are speeding and driving under the influence and disobeying signals. But again, it goes back to some of the things that we talked about earlier. Our public has got to help us there. You know, if you're driving a bicycle or if you're pushing a bicycle after dark, you need to be as far off that roadway as you can, in the shoulder, on the gravel. Hopefully, you're going to be illuminated with something, some kind of reflective markings on a coat, pant, shoes, And I see a lot of people that travel around town on bicycles after dark that have illuminated lights on the bicycle if they're traveling. They're using a bike traveling, you know, very frequently. But, you know, the things that we can do to help our citizens insulate themselves not only from becoming crime victims but from becoming victims of incidents like this, certainly. We want to do what we can to help that, and we need our citizens' help to avoid those situations.
And if you're a runner or out walking in the evening hours, and with it being dark early now, you need some kind of lights, even if you're running or walking.
You really do.
Flashlight, something like that.
You really do. And it gets back to that business that we talk about often when we're on the show. If you've got people that are out, after dark, and they are, running, biking, walking, whatever they're doing. And you combine that, if perhaps they're not as illuminated as they could be or would be best if they were, and you've got somebody driving that's not paying attention, that may be distracted for whatever reason, you can have a tragedy occur pretty quickly. So, again, as we say to our drivers, those things, and people are tired of hearing them, but you know, they say the more you hear it, hopefully it sticks in your mind. Don't drive while you're under the influence. Don't drive while you're impaired. Don't drive distracted. Don't text and drive. Don't interact with your smartphone while you're operating a 6,000-pound motor vehicle that travels, you know, hundreds of feet in seconds if you're traveling at road speed. Obey the stop signs. Make sure you're buckled up, and just try to be safe out there.
Have you seen increases in distracted drivers causing problems?
I haven't seen the research from 2012 that would say this many motor vehicle accidents were attributed to distracted driving, either in our city or statewide. But I know what we continually see from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, is that distracted driving from any kind of anything that you're doing, whether it involves a phone or text or whatever else, that you're as impaired when you're distracted as you would be if you were under the influence.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're approaching the segment of the program where we'll open up the phone lines and you can call in. 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be right back. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is our guest this morning. And Glenn, I'm so proud of you. Glenn was the receiver of the Leadership Rutherford Pinnacle Award, which is Leadership Rutherford's highest honor. And that was given out just recently, this past Friday, at the Chamber of Commerce Business at its Best. Glenn Chrisman, the Pinnacle Award winner.
Show with Brian Barrett is on weekday mornings 5 to 6:30. The Morning News with Scott Walker, 6:30 to 7:50. Start your mornings with WGNS.
You can go all the way at Ford of Murfreesboro Truck Country USA. Game season may be here, but there's no games at Ford of Murfreesboro. Right now, drive away in a new Ford F-150 for just $17,990. Not one, every new 2013 Ford F-150 with an MSRP of $24,665 is just $17,990. Also, get 0% financing for 60 months. Hurry to Ford of Murfreesboro, 1550 Northwest Broad Street, or visit fordofmurfreesboro.com.
I'm David Lee. Come see me at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Hey, if you are looking for a great Valentine gift, why don't you head over to Bell Jewelers? Bell Jewelers has some phenomenal Valentine gifts, and they'll make it even better for you. Let's say, would you like to give your special person some flowers, maybe some chocolates, dinner out, and some diamond jewelry? Well, you can give all of the above with a purchase of $99 or more. That's right. Bell Jewelers is adding some bonuses. Yeah, some little bonuses there. Chocolates, dinner, flowers, the whole works there. $99 or more purchase. Ask them about that. head over to Bell Jewelers. And with love and diamonds, Valentine's Day is just perfect for you. Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad. That's another one of our family business here in the area. Bell Jewelers, the Tidwell family there helping you. Bell Jewelers, a part of our community for over 130 years.
Hi, I'm Robert McConnell from Robert's Auto Repair. What's the difference between my car repair shop and some of the others here in town? We work hard with our customers and treat them like family.
Robert's Auto Repair, honest and fair, on Broad across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning. We've got quite a bit of congestion in Murfreesboro still. Rutherford Boulevard and Mercury Boulevard, Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial. Lots of congestion. Also, I-24 at 96, I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. Folks trying to make their way out of Murfreesboro into the Metroplex there. We've got a bit of slowdown also at I-24 at Bell Road as you make your way in. If you're looking for a fun job that's always in demand and the pay is great, call Professional Bartending School of Nashville. Flexible classes and very affordable. Call Professional Bartending School of Nashville, 885-5800. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Sunny skies in the forecast with highs in the upper 50s, while the light north-northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Currently 41.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
If it's passed, bounced, or hit, WGNS is there with our microphones. MTSU and local sports coverage is on WGNS.
Welcome back. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is with us this morning, and we have a phone call, so let's head right over to the phones. You're on WGNS with Chief Chrisman. How are you today?
Doing just fine. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
I don't know if I misunderstood him or not. Did you say that y'all was saying about trying to get some more red light cameras put up?
We are investigating that, researching that to see if there might be other intersections that we might want to add. Yes, sir?
The mayor of Murfreesboro said that there wouldn't be any more red light cameras put up in Murfreesboro a while back. I just was wanting to let you know that's what he said a little while back. And they took them down in Mount Juliet, saying that it interfered with the police department, the way I understood, and they wasn't getting very much money. The people that put the cameras up got all the money, just about, and they said that they didn't, they had them took down. And if you'll notice, there's a lot of rear-end collisions, cars tore up front and back everywhere you go. And the cameras are really a nuisance because whenever I go to Murfreesboro, when I go up to one of those red light cameras there, I'm not going to turn right on red at any of them. And another thing is because if you get practice of turning right on red there, next thing you know, you done turn right on one that you shouldn't have. So I just stay out of the practice of turning right on red. And when you go up there, when you're pulling up, coming up to one of them red lights, either I'm not really trying to pay attention to what's going on around that red light. I'm watching that light particular because I'm trying to see if that thing is fixing to change or not, and I'm either stopping my brake or either I'm stopping my gas at those red lights. So I really call it a hazard is what I call it. And I'm going to hang up and listen. But the mayor of Murfreesboro said there would be no more red light cameras in Murfreesboro.
Okay,
you cannot give one person a $50 fine for running a red light and another person, a police officer, pulling over, and it's $100-something plus tickets. Plus points on your driving record. That's discrimination from one person to another person.
Let me ask you this. Before you hang up, I'm just curious. What is it you're against on the red lights? Are you against people running red lights or people getting tickets?
No, I don't run red lights. The thing it's just about getting a ticket in the mail, and you don't even know who you're mailing that ticket to. They might not even be driving that car.
But do you think...
You've got to treat everybody equal. I mean, if a man gets pulled over by a police officer and gets a ticket for running a red light, it's $100-something plus points on his driving record, and his insurance goes up. Mm-hmm. Well, this here is just a $50 fine, and this $50 fine the man that he don't get anything but $50 fine, his insurance doesn't go up, or he don't get points on his driving record, and he won't lose his driver's license over it. But I mean, you know, I'm not for running red lights. I've been driving for years, and I try to drive as safe as possible. I think everybody in Murfreesboro tries to drive as safe as possible. Mm-hmm. There's so many people in Murfreesboro now, and in everything, you're gonna have accidents. I mean, we can't stop accidents. If we didn't have accidents, nobody would need insurance. That's the reason we go out and buy insurance, because of an accident, not because we go out here and buy insurance because we're planning on having a wreck. It's an accident. That's what we call them, accidents. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put something up like that right there, and then maybe a ticket. You might not even be driving that vehicle. You might have loaned it to somebody else. And I just think it's just more of a nuisance than anything, because it's really hazardous. Because I'm watching that red light, especially in Murfreesboro. I'm not looking around the area right there.
Okay. And I think we get your point on that. Let me ask the chief, first of all, do people who don't run red lights, do they ever get a ticket? Are they ever mailed one of these tickets?
No.
Okay. So it's only to people who run a red light.
That's correct.
Okay.
Not yellow lights, only red lights.
Only red lights.
And there are no right turns on red, with the exception of the two intersections that we've talked about quite often, and we've been very plain about identifying them. There are two intersections, the one at Northwest Broad and Northfield Boulevard, and the one at Thompson Lane and Old Fort Parkway, that both have two right-hand turning lanes. If you're in that right-hand turning lane, the one closest to the curb, you're not going to get a ticket at either one of those if you turn right and kind of, make a gradual mm-hmm. turn there. If you're in that inside right turn only and you turn right on red, those are prohibited, and there's signage that says that they're prohibited, because if you turn right on red from that inside lane, you may well be turning into the path of another vehicle that has the right-of-way there, and you're in an unprotected lane, you could be hurt or you could hurt somebody else. So those two, you will get citations there if you turn right from that inside right turn lane. That's, again, at Northwest Broad and Rutherford Boulevard, or Northfield Boulevard, and Thompson Lane at Old Fort Parkway. Now, I respect the caller's opinion. May not agree with him, but I respect his opinion. The reason that Mount Juliet removed them was that their system had been set up to issue right turn on red citations for all violators. And the revenue that was coming from the right turn on red citations helped to pay for that system and helped to make that system economically viable. From the very start of the system in Murfreesboro, we never have done that, because we weren't interested in those violations. They technically are violations, but we weren't interested in citing those because they didn't pose safety issues. When the state of Tennessee was looking at how they wanted to regulate red light camera systems, one of the things that they said was, you can't do that as a revenue generator. The only time you can do that is if it involves a legitimate safety hazard. If you've got a heavily traveled pedestrian crosswalk or something there where that's an issue, then you can do that. And Senator Tracy kind of led that fight for us. So that's why Mount Juliet stopped. I'm proud that the caller called to share that information with us, because one of the things that he said is that when he approaches a red light in Murfreesboro, he's paying attention to what that signal says. And that was our intent all along, not to harass, not to aggravate our motorists, but to make sure they're paying attention to those red signals. And when they're red, they stop.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Crispin. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning.
I want to ask the chief, what kind of fine is it for your neighbor to burn trash and there's a violation of, I don't know, I came in from church Sunday and my neighbor was burning trash. It was flying all over my house and their wells, my car. Mm-hmm. It might have set my car, either my house, on fire. I want to know what kind of violation is that.
We don't deal with those often, so I'm not as well informed as I should be. My belief would be that it would be a violation of that part of the Murfreesboro Fire Code that would say that you can't burn in the city without a permit from the fire marshal or the fire chief. And that if you do, you're in violation and you could be cited. If you were cited in the city court for that and you were fined for that, I think the city judge would have a range of fines that he could impose anywhere up to $50 in a fine, plus then any court costs that might be attached to that that could take that $50 fine up to $150 or thereabouts, and those are just kind of ballpark numbers. But I'll tell you, if you want to call someone and get more information about that, call the Murfreesboro Fire Department. We have one of the finest fire departments in the state of Tennessee. If you will call them at 893-1422 and ask to speak to one of the people in the fire marshal's office, they can tell you all about that, and I'm sure they'll be glad to help you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
Have a great day. 893-1450 is our number. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Hello.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chief, I was just traveling through Smyrna, and I noticed on their red lights they have a little white strobe light that is appearing the whole time the light's red.
Mm-hmm.
What I was wondering is, why couldn't we, on a green light, have some type of notification that that light was about to change with a little, you know, delayed strobe light of some type? Because there's many times, you're slowing down to go green when it is green and you're scared it's going to go yellow. Is there any way we could do anything like that? And also, one other thing, I sure would like to see a light put up at Alexander and the Jarnett Lane. It's a lot of traffic out there. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your call and safe travel. Probably there's about all kinds of options, I think, that are available with traffic signalization now. And I'm certainly not the expert there. Our traffic engineering department would be more in line with that. But I'm familiar with what you're talking about in Smyrna. Really, I think what you described is the intended function for the caution light. That's what it's there for. And in all the red light scenarios, in fact, we were in a meeting yesterday with the city judge about something else. We go back to what the burden of proof is for a signal violation. And the only way that you're going to get a red light ticket, electronic or written by a police officer, either one, is if you are behind what we call the edge of the intersection. That's where that bold white stop bar is. That's the edge of the intersection, and that's where people are supposed to stop. If you're behind that bold white stop bar when the light turns red, and then you travel through it, that's the burden of proof that's required to say that you disregarded that signal. Now, if any part of your car, if your bumper, your front wheels, your back wheel, any part of your car is touching that white stop bar when the light turns red, the benefit goes to the driver. System's not going to capture that one, and a police officer's not going to be able to prosecute that one because you weren't behind that line when the light turned red. Now, if we take that one step further to go back to what the caller said, if that light's yellow, any part of that, yellow means caution. It's about to turn red. You either need to move on through it, or if it's turning yellow as you approach that stop bar, you need to stop. But that you could put the strobe light in that sequencing somewhere, but that's really what the yellow light's supposed to do, and it has so many seconds to cycle before it goes to red. As far as Alexander and DeJarnett, I believe I'm familiar with the fact that they've been doing some research out there with DOT to see if a red light might be warranted, but that might be something to talk to our engineering department about. 893-6441, 893-6441, and I'll forward your call to them.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Good morning.
Hi.
I would like to ask Mr. Chrisman, this the light at Northville, well, coming off of John Bragg Highway at Rutherford Boulevard right there.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all ever going to go get that red light straightened out?
In terms of what, ma'am?
Well, see, I work third shift.
Uh-huh.
And as I come up John Bragg Highway, and I'm sitting there at that red light, and the cars, he's got the green light, you know, to go back and forth across the main highway.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That light is just sitting there just flashing. And the cars has got the right of way to go, you know, because it's green.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I can't help from laughing at times, thinking, they'll never get this red light fixed. The camera, it'll never be fixed proper. You know, and every time that I go under the light and I see a flash, I call my husband and I say, mark it down on the calendar that that camera went off just in case a ticket comes in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know what day it is, you know. But I was just wondering if y'all will ever get those cameras fixed at that main intersection right there at Walmart and that red light right there.
John Bragg and Rutherford.
Yeah, John Bragg and Rutherford. Or are you coming off of, I don't know. It's John Bragg and Rutherford right there.
Right.
I'm going to hang up and let you and hear y'all over the radio, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank
y'all
you.
Y'all have a good day.
You too. Thank you for calling. When I've talked to our red light enforcement officer, and he in turn to the company that installs and maintains those, they put some different technology in last year embedded in the roadway that actually activates the system, and the sensitivity of those embedded sensors is greater than what we've ever had before, and I think that's what's triggering some of the flashing. Now, the interesting thing is, if the person has not violated, if they haven't run through that red light, no citations are ever, the movements aren't captured, there's no citations issued, they don't even ever make it to us at all. It's just simply a flash. But that flash is creating some concern, as it did for this caller, and we will double check that again and try to see if we can improve that. And I appreciate her calling.
I imagine it's even more obvious at night when it's totally dark.
It gets your attention. In fact, I think I got flashed by one the other day when I rolled up to the stop bar and stopped, and clearly stopped at the intersection, but I hit that stop bar and it flashed. So,
good morning.
Thank you for calling.
You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chrisman.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you. I'm about like that caller that just called in. I go to work early in the morning. It's dark when I go across to John Bragg there. Like this morning, I had the green light, and I was going under that thing. And
Hello? You still there?
It is, because that flat man there,
I think your cell phone's
popping. I ain't got no problem with the red light camera, but it's been that one intersection to do that, but that's the one I travel most, and it's happened more than once, but last morning that thing flashed, and I just know the car done run the red light from the other side, and I just know that I'm going to get hit, but if they could fix that, that'd be great.
We'll get them on it today. I appreciate you calling, and again, two things to both callers. If the light's green, and it's clear, I mean, it's always, even though you got the green light, it's always good to look around that intersection and make sure somebody hadn't run it from somewhere else and is about to hit you. You got to drive defensively, we all do, but if that light's green, don't give a worry about the traffic camera. I mean, it's not going to bother you at all if the light's green and you got the right of way.
Good morning, you're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
I'd like to change the subject if I could. Would that be okay?
Yes, absolutely. Sir, good morning.
Good morning. I'm worried about we've been finding a lot of meth labs in Murfreesboro lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they ought to make that Sudafed. I think they ought to make that prescription only. And in other states where they've done that, it showed a decline in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they ought to be, when y'all find them, y'all ought to charge them with reckless endangerment as well. Because that's all that stuff, it can blow up, kill other people or injure and cause property damage, and they're clearly showing reckless endangerment to other people, and they ought to be charged with that additionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, ice is starting to be a problem here in Rutherford County, and I think one way of putting it out is taking a Sudafed, making it be behind the counter only.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much.
I appreciate your call, and later today I'll head to Nashville for our chief's meeting that we have several times a year, and we're right in the middle of the legislative session. That has continued to be a topic of great discussion and debate in the General Assembly. Obviously, the pharmaceutical folks have strong feelings about that. Law enforcement has strong feelings about that. I think the two sides of the issue, and I don't disagree with you at all. I think if, on the one hand, if you schedule pseudoephedrine, then you can't get it without a prescription, and the people that are cooking methamphetamine it's going to dry it up, and it'll make it a whole different situation for them. The pharmaceutical folks will tell you that the concern they have is if you schedule pseudoephedrine, then people who have legitimate needs for that medication, and particularly people that are elderly and on fixed incomes and so forth and so on, if they're fighting sinus issues and other kinds of upper respiratory problems, now they got to go to the doctor, they got to get a prescription for that medication, and that basically are the two sides of the debate. One is control, so that you eliminate the pseudoephedrine from the methamphetamine cookers, and the other one is what are you doing to your lawful, law-abiding citizens who may have needs for that medication, may not be able to afford to go to the doctor, may not be able to get out and go to the doctor. How big of a hardship is that going to be? And that's the battle. That's between all of those parties, law enforcement, pharmaceuticals, and God bless them, our legislators are right in the middle.
Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman with us this morning. We will continue the conversation. We're going to check on the weather. We'll be right back. If you are on the line, hold on. You're coming up next.
Start your mornings with WGNS. Weekday mornings at 9, The Truman Show. Weatherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on the stations of WGNS.
For decades, we've been telling you that Bell Furniture has first-quality, name-brand furniture half-price every day. Now this locally owned family business has pictures of some of their furniture on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com. Save with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com.
Sunny skies in the forecast with highs in the upper 50s. We'll have a light north-northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Belluber. Currently 41.
At Holden Hardware, we carry a wide variety of sleds, from the round disc to the 48 and 66-inch plastic sleds to a few in between. We have sleds. We also carry the old-fashioned wood and metal sleds. This is Raleigh Holden, Jr. For many years, Holden Hardware has been known as the place to buy a sled in Rutherford County. People come from other counties to buy sleds at Holden Hardware. Be ready for the snow. Come downtown to Holden Hardware and get your sled.
Hear your favorite high school coaches each Saturday morning at 9 on the Prentice Alsop Heating and Air Coaches Corner here on WGNS AM, FM, online.
Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman with us this morning. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Chief Chrisman. Hello.
Good morning.
Chief Chrisman.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
I just want to say thank you for the way that you're running the police department. I appreciate it so much, and all your policemen that I've ever come in contact with have been so very nice. And I had a problem with a light that was holding on too long, and I called, you had me called a Tom, and evidently they came out and studied it, and they changed it, and so I'm just so thankful that we have more time now on the Church Street and Broad Street turn.
Well.
And I just want to thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate your call and appreciate your kind comments. That's a perfect example of how when there's an issue or a problem and somebody makes us aware of it, we get to work together to fix it. So thank you for taking time to call and let us know.
Thank you. And I wanted to say to the guy that, the gentleman, that called the first thing, he always calls about the red lights. If he would not run the red lights and he wouldn't have to pay a fine, it's not about money for the city. It's about saving my life. I'm still... Every time I go out, nearly, I see people running lights. Mm-hmm. And so I just like to tell everybody to be sure before you take off for your green light that there's not somebody whizzing through with a red light.
That's right.
And thank you so much for having those, and I hope you can put some more up.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your call, and God bless him for both of our sakes. He says he's stopping. Mm-hmm. He pays attention to that red light to stop it, but that's exactly what I hope he'll do.
Boy, I tell you, some of these intersections, when you come to them, I will see the light change, and it's obviously red. I mean, there's no question. And there'll be three or four cars just continue to move right forward through it. And you wonder,
What are they thinking about?
The videos that we'll play sometimes are just shocking. You know, people, it amazes you that people would do that. And before you take that next call, you cut me off a while ago because you were very gracious about my Pinnacle thing. I am so honored to be in the presence of last year's Pinnacle Award winner, Mr. Bart Walker. What wonderful company to share.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Crispin.
Good morning.
I have a question I can't find an answer to.
I'll try to help you, ma'am. What can I do for you?
When people get out of jail, they are hooked up with a probation officer.
Yes, ma'am.
And when they go to visit them, they have to pay something.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that money go?
Well, if they've been convicted of some kind of misdemeanor offense, a misdemeanor meaning a type of offense where they don't have to serve jail time in the jail or a prison, a state prison. If it's where they've been in a workhouse or something and they're hooked up with misdemeanor probation, then part of that money goes to the local company that provides that, Providence Community Corrections. They're up here on West Main Street. And that money goes to that corporation, which hires the probation officers, sets up, pays rent for the building, covers the expense of having people come in and be interviewed and be monitored and followed up. Now, if they are referred to the Board of Probation and Paroles, which is now a part of the Department of Corrections, I'm not sure what kind of fines or fees they pay. I think theirs are mostly visits and follow-ups and drug tests and whatnot when that's ordered by the court. If there's any fee that's paid with that, it would go back to the state of Tennessee and probably back to Rutherford County, perhaps even to help retire their court costs.
I've had two or three people in the discussion ask me if I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who can they call to have this explained to them?
I tell you, the best place to call would be the Office of the General Sessions Courts. Or maybe even the Circuit Court Clerk's Office in Rutherford County, and they can probably explain that to you. And if they can't, I would think the General Sessions Judge's Office might very well be able to do that or refer you.
General Sessions or Circuit Court?
Circuit Court Clerk's Office or the General Sessions Judge's Office.
Because I've been feeling sorry for the people myself, because if they were convicted, I know they have to be punished, but a lot of these people, in fact, probably a majority of them, when you're a felon, you can't get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And how you gonna get some money to pay for something like that when you can't get a job?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have anybody that you know to call for people like that to... I've been trying to help somebody get a job, and do you know anybody they could contact, a felon that could, somebody could help them get a job? They're willing to work.
Well, one of the best places that I know of here in town that really has an outreach ministry for that is Greenhouse Ministries with Cliff Sharp and his wife Jane. They operate the Greenhouse Ministry up on...
Yes, I know. I'm acquainted with them.
I would give them a call and start right there. They do a lot with people who are in need and are trying...
Yeah, they are wonderful people
to
and
reach
do
out.
So much good.
I'd start right there, and they might be able then to refer you further.
And the other is General Sessions or Circuit Court.
Circuit Court Clerk's Office. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for calling. Have a great day.
You too.
And on that note, we want to thank Glenn Crispin for joining us today. Thank you for being here.
It's always a pleasure, Bart. Hope our listeners have a great day and drive safe.
Absolutely. Enjoy Murfreesboro. So much here to enjoy. Truman Jones comes your way next on WGNS Murfreesboro right after the latest news. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow.